702. SMS Refilwe on 31702. So it's time now to take a look at a new report on narratives on business in Africa. This report that we're going to be delving into is one commissioned by Africa No Filter. Africa No Filter is a donor collaborative that supports the development of what they call nuanced and contemporary stories that shift stereotypical and harmful portrayals of the African continent. But this new report that was authored by Richard Addy basically looks at or uncovers a new scramble for Africa by foreign powers, and this is all in the space of international media. Very, very excited to welcome to the program Richard Addy, author of the report. Thank you so much for availing yourself, Mr. Addy. Really appreciate you taking the time. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you so much for inviting me on the show.
It is a pleasure. It is a pleasure. Just the sort of top line finding of this report, and of course the research that you did, we'll get into methodology soon. But the top line is that there is another scramble for Africa, according to international media. But this time it's about who can best profit from the continent's business opportunities. And the unfortunate or downside of all of this is the fact that this charge is being led by, foreign powers or foreign players, as opposed to being homegrown or locally grown. Just talk to us about that top line finding and give us some more detail around that.
Yes, thank you so much. So what we found that there were seven big narratives, we call them, about business in Africa. And as you said, one of the dominant ones was around framing stories about business in Africa through the lens of the states of Russia, of the UK, of France, rather than framing it through the entrepreneurs in Africa, through the industries such as film and art and fashion and architecture. We also found that predominantly internationally, the narrative about business in Africa tended to be quite negative, much more so than homegrown African media. And we also saw that the narrative also seemed to be focusing a lot more on government actors and policy and regulation rather than entrepreneurial flair, the passion that young people and women have in wanting to start up their own businesses. Mm. And a really important finding, was the African Continental Free Trade Area, which is really going to have a big impact in Africa over the next decade, got virtually no coverage at all.
Mm. Okay. And, I neglected, you'll have to excuse me here, Richard, of course, as I credited this report to Africa and the survey to Africa No Filter. But of course, this was also done in collaboration with AKAS or ACAS, which is an audience strategy consultancy, which is an audience strategy consultancy, which you are the co-founder of. So just to put that out there and make it clear. And give us a sense of why all of these things are problematic. For instance, the African Free Trade Agreement of this area, the fact that it doesn't feature or is not the framing of business in Africa is not looked at or explored through the lens of this free trade agreement. Why is this problematic?
Well, there are a number of reasons why it is, but I'll just focus on three. Firstly, it's really important when free trade areas are developed in any particular region or continent that the businesses, that the consumers, that citizens really understand what they involve so that they can get involved with the opportunities, or they can challenge the framing and the development of the free trade area. Secondly, they give a signal to the world that Africa is open for business, which is definitely the case. And if it's not talked about, mm-hmm. then people don't know about it. And when we looked at the survey work, we found that businesses in Nigeria and Ghana, micro businesses in South Africa, had a very low awareness of the Africa Continental Free Trade Area. And thirdly, it's a real celebration of the African countries, 54 participating countries coming together to agree such a complex development. And that counters the sense that you often get from international media that Africans can't agree, that they can't develop complex initiatives. And the Africa Continental Free Trade Area really is a celebration of that.
Yeah, it absolutely is a celebration of that. And you touched on something really key and really important, is that if it's not spoken about, then all these African entrepreneurs and small business and small business owners have a low level of awareness of what's even possible for them in terms of being able to aspire, to dream, or to hope for the potential of their work and of their business. But quite often we are told to, when we're speaking and we're talking to people with a more laissez-faire approach to business, we're told about the markets, we're spoken to about the markets, or maybe sometimes spoken down to about the markets being the deciders of, where capital, money, investment, etc. ought to go. But, perhaps you can, within the research, and we'll get into the methodology straight after this, if you can give us a sense of how narrative absolutely does drive opportunity, how narrative does absolutely drive where capital goes, or how and if collaboration happens. How much or where do people need to be hearing this information and hearing the right kinds of narratives in order to make all of this, number one, palpable, as though, all these things, all these opportunities are possible within their lived experiences and within their immediate realm?
That's such a great question, because it really comes to the heart of the matter of why narratives are important. So in the report, we talk about how there's evidence to show that the narratives that are talked about in media, in international institutions, amongst think tanks, amongst consultants, have a demonstrable effect on the performance in stock markets and the performance in financial spaces. In fact, there's a great analysis called narrative economics, which is all about how stories affect business and finance. So in that particular context, mm-hmm. it's really important that journalists, that consultants, business schools, think tanks really challenge themselves and ask themselves whether they are falling back into habit with particular stories which have a negative frame, which focus on coups and focus on conflict and focus on poverty, rather than focusing on the potential for Africa's future. And in fact, Africa's future arguably is the world's future, because Africa has more young people, will have in 30 years, more young people in Africa than anywhere else in the world. It's the fastest growing region in the world. The technology revolution is happening right here in Africa. So those more positive messages, of which we've researched at least 35 in the report, we want those more positive messages to go out, because they do have a demonstrable effect on capital, on other companies investing in Africa. So these are all the things that can happen when you start to shift the narrative.
So if you could give us a sense of the methodology that was deployed in order to put together this report, because, as one starts to read the report, it's one that, purports to or seeks to fill the gap of how the narrative stories and how stories on business is framed on the continent or around the continent. And you call it a comprehensive quantitative analysis that shows keywords, frame stories, and narratives associated with business in Africa, and the fact that all of that is dangerously distorted. How did you go about this? What was the extent, the scope, the duration, timeline of this research?
Thank you so much for asking that question. It's very rare to be asked a question about the methodology, because it's, but it is incredibly important.
I am going to ask you to also explain it to us and break it down like we're 5-year-olds, because I'm by no means a statistician.
No, I won't do that. So we covered between 2017 and 2021, we analysed a quarter of a billion stories from 6,000 African news sites and nearly 200,000 sites from across the world using an online news database. And that enabled us to understand which particular words, which particular in which particular countries most frequently occurred. And that was one of the core pieces of research which enabled us to make many recommendations and insights with a high degree of confidence. But we didn't only do that. We did seven other methods, and I won't go into them in detail, but I'll just headline them so you get a sense. We looked at what's been said in the academic literature. We looked at what's been said about Africa and business amongst international institutions and consultancies and business schools. We looked at how surveys report on business in Africa. We also, of course, social media is so important now. So we try to understand the conversation on social media, especially about international and African brands. We also looked at some of the content in much more detail to understand, were women talked about, were young people talked about. And finally, we looked at something that's called international indices, which compare countries against each other. Mm-hmm. And we try to understand which African countries performed well in those indices.
The matter of, you know, what you touched on earlier on, which was the fact that a lot of the framing really was looking at business on the African continent through the lens of what you call foreign powers. So either foreign businesses or foreign players like multinationals, etc. Could you give us a sense, or did you get any insights into the reasons behind this? One might imagine it's because, well, of course, there's a proliferation around tech reporting in the global north, whether it's around how CEOs are profiled, business stories are told, how certain subsets of or dominant sectors of tech are profiled and I guess valorized, whether it's Silicon Valley, whatever it might be. But there's lots of money behind that. What is lacking on our side? What is lacking on the continent that there's a dearth of these stories framed from our perspective?
So just to put some context, though, in terms of the foreign powers, we found that 70% of stories that reference Africa and business also referenced one of those foreign powers. So that's why we say in the international media, okay, there's a dominant foreign powers narrative. In African media, it's much less so. There's only 20% mentioned those foreign powers. So the balance there is much better. Having said that, even when we're talking about companies, we found that the likes of Google, the likes of Apple were more, and Facebook were more likely to be mentioned than an MTN, for example. So I think the challenge is for each journalist or consultant or storyteller to take a step back. And when you're telling your story, which examples do you go to? Do you go to examples from Silicon Valley, or do you go to examples from your own country or from the continent? Or when you're wanting to tell a business story, do you focus on technology, as you said, which actually is well covered, and finance, or do you focus really exciting areas like television, film, art, fashion, music, where Africa is incredibly vibrant, but we found only 1% of business stories touch of any of those creative areas?
That is an interesting phenomenon, but it's also a worrying phenomenon, because if you read the kind of output in the literature that United Nations body UNCTAD, for instance, is concerned with, then we're told and we're urged to look at the creative industries as low hanging fruit that have the potential to grow employment, to grow GDPs, to grow people's contribution to their own livelihoods, but of course the greater livelihood and income of their various countries or their various states. So let's talk about that. What is behind this amplification around technology amplification around technology and the silencing or overlooking of creativity? 1% is quite a dismal number, but as you say in your report, Nollywood is the world's second largest film industry. And you talk about the impact of African music on the globe.
That's right. I think it's a legacy of how business in Africa has been reported. So over the last 20 years or so, there's actually been a very significant increase in reporting around business in Africa. And that's been driven by news agencies such as Reuters and AP. And their focus has tended to be more of the larger industrial sectors, kind of an old-fashioned, backward-looking focus. And because the voices of young people haven't been fully embraced in business and African narratives, the voices of entrepreneurs haven't been fully embraced in those narratives. And potentially, the writers, journalists, storytellers, academics are slightly older, arguably. They're not tapping into the zeitgeist. And for a news industry that's in extraordinary pressure, as you say, this is incredibly low-hanging fruit. And it's really interesting that in your own program, you had actors talking. Craig talked about his first purchase was a music. You talked about CDs.
It's true.
This whole area is everyone's life, and yet it's not being taken advantage of. So you're so right. This is an enormous opportunity and an exciting one.
Mm. Well, from enormous opportunities and no doubt challenges and excitement, how do we utilize this report? You've authored this. You've given us a sense of the methodology and the extent of the research. Who is this report for? How should they use it? And of course, more than anything, bring it to life, bring the findings of it to life.
That's a great question. In fact, when Africa No Filter, which is an incredibly important organization trying to shift the narratives in Africa, when Africa No Filter commissioned this, they said to me, we don't just want this to be a report that's lost. We want it to have recommendations or challenging questions that get storytellers to think differently. So at the end of the report, we have 21 questions, stimulus questions to actually help people think through when they are telling stories about Africa. So we ask them to reflect on whether their framing is too negative. Have they reflected any of the good stories that are in Africa? What we've just talked about is the focus of the story and the traditional industries, or are they thinking about the more exciting and innovative and growing creative industries? We ask, especially international media, who are you focusing on when you're telling the story? Are you focusing on African businesses, on people on the ground? Are you using African experts? So we've done that. 21 really powerful questions that hopefully start to help storytellers, journalists, think tanks, consultants reframe when they're talking about business in Africa. And really critically, something that's very close to my heart mm-hmm. is bringing more women's and young people's voices in, because women and young people are the entrepreneurial drive behind Africa. And we've got all the evidence to show that.
We've got all the evidence to show that. And I think, a subset of the people that should be also reading this report and finding interesting ways to think about their own circumstances are exactly that, women, young people and African entrepreneurs. Really wish you all the best in your work, but appreciate you coming on to Weekend Breakfast just to help us unpack the report that you authored and the research work that you've undertaken. Thank you so much, Richard.
Thank you.